Hot water heaters, solar, continuous flow and storage hot water. Ream is Australia's favourite. Install a Ream.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
A very good afternoon and welcome to the MCG on a Sunday afternoon. Looking forward to the game today. Melbourne and North Melbourne. Can the Kangaroos keep things rolling along as they head towards September? We'll find out at 1:10 today. This game will start. We look forward to that. So we've got the full Sunday team here, of course. Wayne Swass is with us. Wayne Carey is here. Jay-Z, Jay Clark from the Herald Sun is with us. And Michael Roberts is with us. Ash the Chew Man is also here. And I've just been told by Mickey Roberts sitting up the back that the team sheets are through and there are no changes to the selected sides here today. Good afternoon and welcome to you, Wayne Swass.
Thank you, BT. Hello, boys. Hello, everybody. Lukey Beveridge may not think that it's, until it's mathematically locked in, their finals bound, but I'm on the Dogs train at the moment. They are playing some unbelievable footy. A lot to get excited about.
There is indeed. Duck, I went to Perth last night and saw West Coast Hawthorn. You saw a little bit of it on the Teeve. What did you make of it?
Yeah, good afternoon, boys, listeners. I really liked it. I thought it was a very good contest. Obviously, tough conditions for both sides, but the good old Hawks, that's why they're the best team in it. They wore them down in the end and probably were better for longer.
Yeah, we saw some incredible performances. Cyril Rioli playing in his 150th game. Jay-Z, you know, you talk about the style of the game, we'll talk about that later, but gee, there were a lot of times where 36 players were in the 1/5 sort of segmentation of the ground.
But I was thinking last night that maybe this whole discussion, maybe we've overcooked it, BT. I thought, and you guys did a great job on Channel 7 of bringing the game to us, but I was compelled by the two games last night. I thought this is footy. It was hard and tough. You know, Geelong played quickly, and even though the Hawthorn West Coast game was a little congested, I still thought it was a great contest.
I actually did a little bit of flicking last night, BT, listening to yourself, and then flicking, obviously, over to Foxtel and watching a little bit of the Sydney-Geelong game. And I got caught up in the Eagles-Hawks game, and when I flick back, the Cats are in front because at one stage Sydney looked as if they were in control. So, you know, good on the Cats. Everyone's writing the Cats off. I think you did. You've written them off about 12 times this year, BT.
No, I don't know.
I've been on their bandwagon.
But what I do know is that West Coast, I reckon, I went over there because I hadn't seen much of them this year.
And a month ago, you were very unsure.
Yeah, and I went over there thinking, no, I don't like them. I don't reckon they're as good as what they're being pumped up. And I come away thinking, okay, they're competitive with a side that's probably expected to win the premiership this year. That's a pretty good effort. And then I added into the mix last night, McGovern hamstring, Lacroix going to get a week or two out of his head-high bump.
Nat Nui, a late omission.
Nat Nui, late omission, but probably will play next week,
would I
would imagine.
Would they have won with Nat Nui if he had a play?
No.
Makes a big difference, I think.
I do too.
Mm. They had Elliot Yeo rucking in the end. You know, which just shows you how short the Lysett did the main job, but he needed a chop out. And when McGovern went down, because he was helping.
But guess what?
What?
Next week they've got to win games. They won't have McGovern. They won't have Lacroix. They've got to win next week to stay in the hunt for a top two. They're looking like they might be the drifters at the moment.
And this is why it's just set up perfectly now for Alistair Clarkson's men. I mean, you look at the ladder, Fremantle on top. They're going to stitch up the minor premiership, and then West Coast on second. But they're only 2 points ahead of the Hawks.
Yeah, but they play Fremantle next week.
Yeah, and Wes, I think you're back in Fremantle from now, don't you, Duck? Next week, without Lacroix, without McGovern, Nat Nui question mark.
Well, you're assuming that Lacroix will get weeks. I think he's a slight chance of getting off that BT.
He is no chance of getting off, Duck.
He was actually
he knocked the guy to a concussion. There was head-high contact,
I understand, but he was slowing down and he didn't deliberately try. He was sort of half trying to get out of the
way. He was definitely slowing down.
I think he might get, if he does get a week, it'll be a week.
It's two down to one. Intentional contact, low impact, high contact, two down to one. That's what it'll be.
See, West Coast play Fremantle and the Dogs in consecutive weeks. So I can see them slipping. And when you look at the Hawks, who have got Geelong, and then after that, they've got a relatively easy run. They'll be playing three teams not participating in finals. Duck, this time of the year, those teams tend to drop off after halftime.
Very true.
In games. Port, Brisbane and Carlton. I think Hawthorn are going to finish probably second.
And last night, they rest Lake. They give Hale a chop out. So that's all set up perfectly. It was an important win for Hawks. And we saw on the Channel 7 coverage, they sang the Horses, saw the Darryl Braithwaite Horses song after the win. Now, that only comes out, fellas. We've done some digging on this. Only comes out after big occasions.
What do they do?
Big
they
wins.
Sang the what?
Well, when Hawthorn has had a big win, they sing Darrell Braithwaite's horses. You know, because they do it only after big wins.
When was the last big win they did this on?
It's a small reward. I don't know. It's an in-house thing.
The grand final wasn't big enough for them.
They sing it after the grand finals.
I'm surprised Seven didn't pick it up after the game. No, they did.
I wasn't on.
Oh, okay.
They did.
I'm off at that.
Because you're normally very good at that stuff, Bristol.
BT's tucked up in back at the hotel.
Oh, no, it didn't go well after the game last night at the airport. Don't get him started. He's going to be
an investigation from the moment the siren sounded to end the game. The deplorable bad run of luck that I had on my way to, first of all, made to stand out in the rain because the limo wasn't ready. Then I got some driver that couldn't speak. Anyway, it was multicultural around, so that was all good. Then we went to the hotel and we were late, got to the airport. No ticket under my name, no booking for Virgin. Standing there for an hour and a half with the girl at the Virgin desk going, "No, sir, no, sir, no, sir, thank you." I come back an hour later, "No, sir, you're not on. Thank you, goodbye." So I sprint over to the Qantas thing. I fork out 1,800 smackaroonies out of my own pocket, counting green neck after green neck and going bang, and I haven't got a cent left in my name. I couldn't buy a salad today, and it was absolutely shocking. Then I got home, and the taxi man that picks me up at the airport at this end, I said, "Meet you up near the valet car park." "Yeah, no worries." He's not there, and it's you know, just sort of drizzle, a little bit of cold out there, and I'm standing there for 15 minutes in the middle of Tullamarine at 4:50 a.m. when all I want to do is sleep. And he's bloody taken 15 minutes to get to me, and so it's been a disaster day.
We know how well Brian takes this sort of stuff.
Feel better for getting it off your chest, BT.
I'll tell you what, I've had a gutful. And someone's going to be in my sights. But anyway, it was a good game last night. Hawthorn, I tell you one thing that stood out to me, Duck, in the opening half of the game was that Luke Hodge was...
hard at it.
He was just intent on being the hardest player on the ground.
Yeah, I noticed that. And it was a good call last night because you obviously picked up on it early. But you're right. When there was a 50-50 ball there, he just went in low and hard, all legal, just wanted to throw his body at every contest. But that's what the Hawks do. That's what in big games, I mean, clearly when you're the best team, Swatter, you're going to have your little lapses. They had one of those last week against Richmond. Yep. But when it's there to be won, we saw it in the grand final. We've seen it 100 times in the last couple of years. Boy, body on line. Yep. And let's not forget that the Eagles got off to a very, very good start.
Yeah, they did.
And they're in a little bit of trouble. So that physicality, they just have this great ability not to... Under pressure, Swatter, they don't panic.
No.
And even though there was a little bit of scoreboard pressure starting to build BT, Bruce kicks a great goal, and Gunston, Burgoyne, you know, they've just got those players that have got composure.
It's almost as if they relish the challenge. They got their tails kicked the week before. Yep. I would imagine that, you know, Clarko's had a chat to Hodgie, but he probably didn't even have to say anything because Luke Hodge is the type of leader that says, "I know what needs to be done. I may not get 30 touches, but I set the tone for my teammates." And to Duck's point, under a bit of scoreboard pressure, but his intent sets the benchmark for the rest of the group. That's got to be the minimum for the rest of the game.
And I think Hale did play a role last night. Ponder that. As we move on to Adam Goods. Oh. You can get that, Duck?
No.
David Hale was omitted.
Yeah, he played his role.
But it hailed last night at Subi. Hale did play a role. Good one. Very swift.
I still think the Eagles are the second best side in it, boys, but we'll see how that progresses over the next month. But Adam Goods.
Yeah, what was the news coming out of Simmons Stadium?
Well, I watched it last night, and there were muffled boos. There was a passage of play in the third quarter. It was probably at its loudest, but it was a 10% boo factor for across the game. So the players, all the players from Geelong and Sydney ran through the banner at the start of the game, and all the breaks, there was a video with Kelly Stokes, Salwood encouraging responsible crowd behaviour, etc. But otherwise,
what, was it overkill?
No. It was required. I think the AFL had lagged on all this, and they made a strong statement. And next week, Sydney
Was Fitzpatrick there?
He was. I think, which is good. I think this guy needs to be more visible. There's no doubt about that. He needs to be saying more stuff, but that's another topic. But I think last night it was a big tick for the Geelong crowd, who were otherwise pretty classy in how they handled it. And that's what needed to happen.
There was a moment too, because he kicked a goal fairly early.
First quarter.
What was the first moment like?
He intercepted a ball, so it was a bad kick, intercepted it, kicked a goal.
Yep.
But you know what I also noticed about Goodsy? So big tick to Goodsy too, because there wasn't an over-celebration of the goal.
Right.
He was very humble in the way he went about his business as well,
BT. Do you reckon that was a plan from him to be like that?
I'm assuming that he went in there thinking, well, hang on, they're showing me that respect, so let's not, you know, if I do something. And by the way, it was a very good goal. Mm. Intercept. Bang, picked it up around the corner goal. So, but his celebration was very low key. Everyone got around him, and it was a good result all round.
You have to still cast your eye ahead a little bit. I mean, they play at home next week. Week after that,
everyone got around him except the team with the scoreboard.
Well, they were poor after half time. Really poor. Big question mark over Sydney from here. But in the terms of the goods factor, next week it's Collingwood at the SCG, so that's okay. Kind crowd there.
Friday
the week after
footy.
That, yep. It's GWS, so Sydney. Sydney. And then after that, it's St Kilda at Etihad Stadium. You think that would be okay. And then against Gold Coast at the SCG. So I think it's a pretty kind run
I think
from
given
here.
Everything that has been made of it, I think that you'd be a fool to put yourself in that position from a supporter's point of view to... Mm. Carry on that way, wouldn't you?
Well, in the third quarter, there was still one passage of play where the boos were actually quite audibly loud.
Well, that's why I'm interested in if that was the case, the people sitting next to those people, what were they saying to them? Mm. How did that happen?
Shut up.
Yeah,
I reckon.
It's bizarre.
Pull your head in. Mm. But otherwise, I think it's okay. I think this story now, hopefully, just blows away a little bit and we can act with the class and integrity that... You know, we should.
Adam Goods, Duck, does he continue on next year? Should he continue on next year?
I would say that his form has been, so this is just form, nothing else. Obviously missed last week for obvious reasons. Off his form, I think it'd be very doubtful that he goes on next year.
Hmm. Beaten comprehensively by young key defender Jake Collett.
Jeez, didn't he play a good game?
No, he was beaten.
I said Collard Jasny played a good game.
He played a very good game.
Yeah,
very good game. So there was a classy finish from Goods early. But otherwise, I mean, the ball hardly got forward for Sydney after half-time.
Thought the kids for Geelong showed the Sydney Swans up last night. They looked old and slow last night, Sydney.
Yeah.
Mickey Roberts is doing the boundary for us today. And we just heard Jay-Z come with the late news on the no change front there, Robbo. Yeah. I guess you want to say the same thing.
I just know Jay-Z's just taken over this box, hasn't he? No problem. No change. No changes in both sides.
If you've been out and about, you're a bit of a social butterfly.
like you, BT.
Just give us one thing that you've seen this week that has socially caught your eye.
Well, Neil Danaher, I did something with him and Dad, and I the more I talk to that bloke and what he's doing and what he's actually going to do with the Essendon Football Club as well. And don't forget, Terry Danaher is quite close to his brother. I reckon there's a few Danahers involved in Essendon and making a few decisions.
Now you've pushed me onto the Essendon thing. Now, beautifully, nice segue, Robert. While we're talking Essendon and Jay-Z, we're not journos, so Duck's not a journo, Swatter's not, and I'm not, but you are. And so you know more about the Essendon thing because we can't be bothered with it. But it's ugly. But I noted with interest that Bomber Thompson has come out and said that the club is effectively drowning.
Yeah.
They are drowning. What is going on?
Well, Bomber has been niggling away at the footy club for a couple of months now. But yesterday he brought out the sledgehammer. And it was his harshest assessment of the club yet. And in a nutshell, he went on a big spiel, but he said this in a nutshell of the Essendon players. We've damaged them mentally. We've taken away their life in so many ways. Mm. Now, that's saying that the Essendon playing group has been absolutely devastated by this Asada mess, by this supplement mess. And not only do they not want to play at Essendon anymore, but do they just want to walk away from football entirely. And certainly that's the situation
facing. Well, that shouldn't surprise us, though, should it? I mean, given what they've been through?
Well, but it's coming from Mark Thompson, who is an Essendon legend. And we've spoken to Essendon people about this issue last night and this morning, and they are ropeable.
You know what? I agree that they are sinking. They are drowning to a certain degree. I've had someone come to me that is employed at the Essendon Football Club in a professional sense that he hasn't come to me. I spoke with him, but I don't think he's going to be involved in the club next year from the point of view he just wants to get out and get a fresh start because he can see no end to it. Mm. There's no end to it. And so they are drowning, I reckon.
But in saying that, BT, if in that situation you get out, but you're still drowning in it because it's still ongoing and yet...
Not if you're not involved in it. Not if you weren't one of those players, though.
Oh, okay.
And there will be some of those.
Yeah, but there'll be some, though, that get out of it that are still involved and go to another club and therefore they don't probably have the same support if they stay. And I think that's why a lot of people think that a lot of those players have stayed together because they need to support one another.
Each other, yeah.
They go to another club short of they don't have that.
Can I just isolate the skipper too? Neil Danaher said when he learnt that he went over to Europe and actually was sitting there at the test match, Joe Watson drinking a beer, he said, that captain is captain of the footy club and must return home.
Good
must
segue.
Return home.
Good Very segue again, Robbo.
Oh,
I want to ask you, Jay-Z, about the relationship between...
Just on that, he is home.
I know. Now.
He is home. He got home. He
last
got home.
Night.
I know that, yeah. Duck, but when he was over there, Neil, at this function last week, said that bloke must return home. He's captain of the club.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
And you know what? And he's been through so much. And for him, who's just had a shoulder surgery, to get away for a week, Swatter.
Yeah, I'm with
a
you.
A week.
I'm with you.
I mean,
he's been the face of this saga.
He needed a mental break, or he might have had a mental breakdown. You have a mental breakdown, and then you're no good to anyone.
Yeah. Well, here's one for you. I'll put this to you and see what reaction we get there. I'm thinking that Bomber and Job are tighter than Job and Hurdy. That's just what I feel and sense. Don't know any fact involved in that, but that's what I sense and feel when I hear all of those parties talk.
Yeah.
And I actually even believe that there's still the... Job still goes maybe around a Bomber's place for dinner every now and then as well.
I think this is intriguing. Bomber still has, I think, a few of the boys. I don't know who, I don't know names. Yeah. But I still think he has a few of the Essendon boys around a dinner at his place. Now, in light of the situation at the moment, the context, the Essendon Footy Club is furious with Mark Thompson
at
the moment.
What do they do?
Well, they've got to get it. They have to get him in and say, Mark, for the good of the football club, please. I know he's a media commentator, and we appreciate his honesty, but he's gone nuclear.
Wasn't it Thompson that went and got Robinson, and then Robinson got Dank?
Asked yesterday, he said, it was Hurd, Robinson and Dank. They're the ones who drove the program. But you make a very good point, BT. He was the bloke who got in Robinson, as you say, who got in Dank.
What did you make of the comment about board members, some of them, being aware? He is no doubt that certain board members were aware of the injection regime, because I think that casts serious aspersions on some of the board members. If they were privy to that information and they've signed off on it, Jay-Z, it's not just coach, footy director, footy ops, it's the board or people that knew.
Can I put this to you, Jay-Z? Mm-hmm. It is wafting odour down there.
Yep.
And it'll continue to waft odour. Can I put it to you that the Essendon Football Club at the moment are happy in one sense to have James Hurd in charge of the coaching,
taking the hits,
while it is wafting in this odour, so that at the end of this, when it is all settled, they can sever the relationship and move on, rather than burn a new coach who's not currently branded with that? Is that a possibility?
I reckon that's spot on. More and more convinced. I'm thinking this club needs a clean slate at all levels. Board, coaching, everything. Robbo.
What about the captain? Does he come back and lead the side because Dyson Heppel's embraced it?
Yeah.
He's played 100 games, that bloke, and he wants it. Do you give the leadership to Job, who's been smashed, or do you roll it on to Dyson?
Maybe the thing that regenerates Job's love for the game. I mean, this guy's been absolutely hammered.
Hammered.
Hammered to the nth degree with regards to what he's had to deal with.
It could be good that he stands down and gives it to Heppel.
If Job Watson wants to be captain, he's captain.
Oh, sure.
Simple as that. And he's earned that right, and I think he will be captain.
It's Heppel for me. Heppel all day.
Hurdy's got one more year to go. Yep. Are you suggesting that they may pull the trigger at the end of this year or go one more year?
Well, the case will be heard in November. And if that is poor for the players, if they are suspended, he is gone. G-O-N-E. Absolutely no doubt about that. And I think week by week, his position as coach, his footy club, is being undermined. But what about going back to the Bomber Thompson thing? And I think there's no doubt. I can't see Hurdy being the long-term coach of this football club anymore. What about the issue with Bomber Thompson, right? So he's landing all these haymakers recently in the Essendon Football Club. Just hypothetically speaking, what if the Bombers turn the spotlight back on Bomber and just have a look back at...
What do you mean?
Well, Bomber Thompson was known as being a bit unpredictable, a bit erratic in his final 2 years at the Essendon Football Club. Now, we don't want to cast aspersions, we don't want to talk in detail, but what about the football club says, right, Bomber, let's air all our dirty laundry on you, the times we couldn't get in contact with you, the times that we couldn't, didn't attend the meetings. You know, there were some times there he wasn't at the footy club.
So what you're saying is the club has protected Bomber?
Yes.
Maybe some of his idiosyncrasies in his final couple of years at the...
Weaknesses?
Right, at the club. And the club would obviously like to have that return.
This gets more confusing by the moment. What happened to James Hurd's words right at the start of all of this? I can't wait to tell you the truth.
Yep.
When the hell are we going to hear that?
You won't.
Well, I think once all the legal issues are sorted out, James Heard will come out with a book or some media of some kind, and it'll be pretty revealing. This is all going to blow up again, guys, in November when the case is heard, and WADA have got a real bee in their bonnet at the moment. We think it's going to be a massive story again in November.
End of Essendon smelly talk. Let's move on. The Pies got home over the Blues. It wasn't all that convincing.
Scrappy, but it was a win.
Swatter and Duck and Jay-Z. Dane Swan, 31 years of age. Is he possibly the best 31-year-old playing? And what has he been drinking?
what has he been drinking?
Well, he's had a shave.
He's been unbelievable.
He's had a very good year, BT. What people forget is last year he had glandular fever, he had wrist problems, he had all sorts of injuries last year, hip. So therefore, bad year. One bad year in about his last eight. He has been a very consistent footballer. He's got his speed, he's got his power back. And I think if you look at his whole year, he has been one of the more consistent players at the Pies. He'd be in their top few in the BNF, I would imagine.
Well, what are the numbers, Jay-Z? What are the 30-plus touches and 40-plus touches? How many times has he done 30-plus 100 or something?
I think he's had 40 possessions 13 times in his career. Just been an extraordinarily ball winner. I reckon he would, at the moment, if the best and fairest was called now, he'd finish second. I reckon he'd go Pendlebury, Swan, Varco, Williams, Adams, Crisp. That'd be the top six.
When the two man gets here, I think you'll find that Swanee is only just behind one of the greats of the 90s, named R. Harvey, as the second most amount prolific of 30 possession
well,
plus Chua, games.
If you're hearing this on your way in,
you better have it.
Come in locked and loaded,
mate. He likes
mate
to listen to other stations.
Don't come in and see fire off pop gun stuff in this box.
BT, on Swanee, did you think it last year that he was cooked? Do you think that he was just an absolute minor player in this Collingwood team from last year?
I thought this may be near his last year. Yeah. I'm now convinced that I still think Dane Swan, because of his age at 31, is a year by year, but I have absolutely no hesitation in signing Dane Swan to play again next year on a really, really good deal. I notice in today's Herald Sun, Jay-Z, on page 55, Age Before Beauty is the headline, and all about the average age of each respective clubs. You look at Hawthorn, their average age at the moment is 131 games.
Yep. That's experience. Yep.
Yeah, and you look down at Collingwood, 81. Is that near the bottom? Are they fourth or fifth bottom, I think, from memory, reading that article?
They're fifth lowest, and they're younger, or they're more inexperienced than Melbourne, St Kilda. So we think of the Demons of the Saints as being very young sides, of being rebuilding sides. Collingwood has fielded a younger side, and then we see about 6 weeks ago, they push Port Adelaide, they push Hawthorn, and Fremantle over there. So, I mean, I know it was a scrappy win yesterday, and Ben Reid comes back, and he's a story, and he gets the headlines, but more and more I'm convinced that the Collingwood side is on track. And to extend that further, this is what they do in the trade period, right? First round pick on Treloar, second round pick on Aish. They get the double hit, which adds to that midfield, which is possibly the one question mark, and they go boom next year
actually,
with Adam Treloar.
It's a good article, BT.
Who wrote it?
The Western...
Jay-Z.
Who did? The Western Bulldogs, who are clearly very, very low. Kangaroos right up near the top, so they're right up near Hawthorn, sitting at second, but obviously Boomer Harvey's a big one. Once he jumps out, that average will come down quite a bit.
Yeah. And the worrying teams as part of this is Essendon, 90, right up the top, and Carlton, 86.5. They're the two clubs where we think, ooh.
Now, I had this discussion with Purple a few weeks ago when I was doing one of the Fridays or Saturdays, and he was saying that, you know, because Collingwood was when they were going really well and that they needed to readjust their plans for this year and they're going to play in grand finals.
They fell in.
And I'm saying, no, Purple, they're not planning for this year. Mm. This year would be nice, but they're not going to change their plans and turn them inside out just because of a few good games this year. What Collingwood are doing, and I imagine every club tries to do this, is they have a peak period year in mind. So they might say, look, our year is 2018. That's when we're pushing for. That's when Sharon Berg will have enough games. That's when we have this player right, that player right. And by the way, in the year leading into 2018, we'll leave enough room in our TPP so that if we need one more player that's ready to go, we can have that 700 there to go out and get a really good player and plonk him in to win the grand final in 2018. Their plans are for 2018. Gary Peart, the CEO, has always said all along, and I think he said it at the start of the year publicly, that they would be happy to be right on the edge of the eight. They reckon that's a good year for them this year. If they play a final, they've had a really good year.
I think they have a concern, and their concern is they're obviously their forwards. They're bigger key forwards and also their key defenders.
Now Brown, 2018. Brown,
yeah, that's why I'm saying Brown and Frost. Now clearly Darcy Moore's going to be a star by 2018, but Cloak's fallen off the perch by then. White's probably not there.
Yep.
So all of a sudden you've got some holes to fill. Now Brown has been sensational, missed a lot of footy. Frost, I reckon Frost is an absolute star. He's a stopper, does his job week after week. But you just think about Brown probably 2018, maybe getting towards the end. Certainly Spot. Cloak. White probably won't be there. So for me, BT, it's about those taller key position players that might be a concern.
Andy
for
Ruckman
them.
Would go well too.
Well, you don't like Grundy?
I really like Grundy, and I like Witts. I think Witts has been very, very good this year.
Hey, make no mistake, Mason Cox is going to be playing in this side by 2008. He'll play games next year. Can I let you know just on the international recruits, Duck, and don't put your head up in the air like you're thinking. the ruckman down at St Kilda, I forget his name.
Jason Holmes.
The international. Richo reckons he is ready to go now and on a par with what they've got in Longer and the other ruckman Hickey. Down there, and Hickey, he's ready to go now. Now, don't look cross-eyed.
Well, Hickey can play. We've seen games where Hickey can actually play a little bit.
Mason's nearly ready.
But what, nearly ready to do what?
To go up in the ruck and go...
Yep. What after that?
You know, move around a little bit. But that's all ruckmen do these days.
No, it's not actually, because the good ones don't do that, and we've seen that.
I think it was very good in the VFL.
Goldstein and Jacobs and these guys and Natanui, we see the follow-up work that they do.
That's a peacock. And you know why the peacock sound is there, JZ? Because I reckon
like
Darcy Moore's got a fair bit of... a bit of peacock about him, the way he just prances around. Oh, I know Peter was a real peacock performer, but Darcy's just got this little bit of, let's say it's coming a little early. It's just hold on to it for another year or two, Darcy. And actually do something, and then we can go with the peacock strut. That'll be very, very good. Surface down here, it's looking a little worn, the MCG. It's had a lot of soccer, had a lot of events on it, Jay-Z.
A little worn, it's patchy. It's in the worst state I've seen it in 5 years, the MCG.
Come on.
Jordan Lewis,
bad.
Brendan Goddard, they've all spoken out.
Win.
It's poor. You look at it. Now look at the centre square where the ruckmen do their battle. Okay, line.
It's not a brilliant green... But it's still like a carpet.
Well, the kick-to-kick post-game has been scratched because...
Because what?
The surface is not up to it. I think
The surface is not up to kick-to-kick.
Correct. Yep. That's why it's not on.
Yep. What was on 20 minutes ago?
Because of the inclement weather.
What was on 20 minutes
there
ago?
There was a Melbourne Footy Club corporate game. Bit of ching-ching.
The players are starting to sound like the international soccer players, BT. They didn't like the surface of the MCG either. They thought it wasn't quite up to their lofty standards.
Historically, the MCG, and you can see down the corridor that they've replaced a little bit of turf already, about this time of the year when guess what? The sun pops out. The warmth rises, so we get 15 pluses instead of 15 and under degrees. The grass can grow. This is a photosynthesis type thing. You need sun, water, and nice temperature for the green stuff to grow. And it will grow, and I guarantee you, by the time the finals come in the first or second week, this will look immaculate, Jay-Z, and I reckon you're being unfair to the MCG, given they've had so many events here this year.
Just because you guys used to play on mud heaps. I reckon if I'm the groundskeeper today, I'm looking at the ground and I'm thinking I've got a bit of work to do over the next month.
I'll tell you what, I totally agree that the ground's not as good as what I've seen it prior, but the players are getting a little bit precious if they're worried about this surface. This surface, not too much wrong with that.
BJ Goddard and Jordan Lewis, both unhappy. I'm backing them in.
Yeah, but, you know, come on, guys. It's the middle of winter and it's the MCG and they've,
both teams.
It's been a particularly cold winter this year as well, which hasn't allowed seed to germinate as often as
my new property, BT, is looking very, very green.
I tell you,
maybe it's just maybe it's a great soil up that way.
That wrong property you bought, that is 50 mil under the surface, is all rock. It's all rock. Guess what? duck bought the wrong property. But anyway, no, that's all good. Now, look, I think the surface is okay, but they are going to start to replace, I think, patches of it now, Jay-Z, to tidy it up for the finals. And I'm confident in the staff here that come September, this will look pretty good.
I'll tell you one bloke who didn't mind the surface yesterday, Patrick Cripps. Mm. The Rising Star race might be as good as it's been for 5 or 10 years.
So Hogan, Cripps?
Cripps versus Hogan, and I think Heaney. Heaney last night was brilliant in patches. You can see he's going to be an absolute star. Dom Sheed is the one who's underrated, and Sard at Gold Coast has had a very good year. But just a quick straw poll, guys. Cripps versus Hogan. Hogan leads the competition in average contested marks, and Cripps yesterday had 11 clearances. I think 8 of them centre clearances. Hogan, who do you vote?
Hogan for me, because he's got the more... he's got the bigger role. He's got the whole forward line swinging him around him. Their whole scoreboard depends on him. I mean, you can go into the centre and anyone can rip one out of the centre or here and there, but to kick goals and be the focal point is a tough job.
Yep, agree, BT. Hogan for me, because it's the toughest position on the ground, and as a young player, first year in, to be able to be doing that is quite incredible.
Big fellas can't get it if the blokes in the middle aren't getting it, Jay-Z.
Ooh, oh, good trotter.
Let's get down to Mickey Roberts. He's on the boundary. Brad Scott's with him. Take it away, Robbo.
Thanks, BT. Looking at the list there, won your last four, got a pretty good run home, but you're at the MCG, you're not in that sanitised park at Etihad Stadium, but different conditions today. Only played here twice, the last one against Collingwood.
Yeah, we have, but we played two finals here last year, which is which you always know that if you get yourself into the right end of September, you're going to be playing here eventually, and our guys really like playing on this ground. I think the width suits us. You know, we play a lot at Etihad as well, obviously, but pleased to be back at the G.
Hey, Brad, how hard is it to prepare against Melbourne? Clearly very good last week, but prior to that, a little bit poor. Do you look at their whole piece of work, or do you just go back 1 week?
No, we look at their whole piece, Duck. I think that, you know, Melbourne's six wins this year have been pretty good wins. And, you know, despite a lot of people saying they're inconsistent, I think they've been pretty consistent. You know, they mark the ball well in a contest. I think they deliver pretty much the same level each week. And Roosie's got them playing, you know, at a level where they compete really hard. And, you know, Melbourne games are typically rated as the number one pressure games of the round because they play a really one-on-one style. And if you're going to beat them, you've got to work really hard to do it.
Hey, Brad, I'm just watching Toddy Goldstein do some ruck work with Alex Ashenko in the middle of the ground there. How have you rated his year personally?
Oh, I think he's been the standout ruckman in the competition. You know, I think he's, you know, there's a bit of water to go under the bridge still, but I think he'd have to be the number one contender for the All-Australian ruck spot. And, you know, I think even some more individual honours may come his way if he keeps his form up, but he's been outstanding for us.
Scotty, Jay Clark here, mate. I reckon you're in a really interesting phase at the moment, because while your last couple of weeks of the season are quite difficult, at the moment you're in a run of Brisbane, Carlton, Melbourne, St Kilda. And if there's been a criticism of your guys of the past season or two, it's that sometimes you switch off against the lesser sides for whatever reason. How have you rated your boys' you know, focus, attitude versus Brisbane? You smashed them. Carlton, you did the same. Melbourne this week and St Kilda next week. How do you think you're handling that sort of focus?
Oh, Jay, Geelong and Essendon the 2 weeks before that as well. So, you know, we won those. So, I mean, we're 4-0 in that stage. And, you know, we finished top four last year by virtue of winning two finals, which gave us, you know, one of the toughest draws in the competition. So if people are saying we've got an easy draw now, it's only because of a hard draw earlier.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can only beat the opposition that's put in front of us. And, you know, I've been really pleased with the platform we built over the last month, but, you know, this time of the year, we can see how tight it is, and this season is playing out exactly as I thought it would, in that it's as competitive as ever.
Hey, Brad, just before we let you go, you're standing right in front of where Melbourne are warming up at the moment. What's your area of concern in confronting Melbourne?
I think their defence has been outstanding this year, BT. They've, you know, they're as good as anyone one-on-one. Lyndon Dunn, Tom McDonald, Colin Garland, Jeremy Howe. You know, Maxi Gawn gets back as a ruck and takes contested marks, and they took 15 contested marks in their defensive half last week. Collingwood were only able to take one contested mark in their back half, so their defence has been outstanding, and we're going to have to work really hard offensively to get a score on them.
Appreciate your time. Good luck today.
Cheers. Thanks,
Brad Scott. They are unreal, North Melbourne, in access to their club, so Heath O'Loughlin has done an outstanding job as part of their media department.
They're the best, I reckon.
Yeah, they are the best.
Young Ben Jacobs just re-signed. I think he got another year extension. Last year, I reckon he was emergency, I reckon 12 times. This year he's came in, he's had some big roles, gone into that tagging role, played a bit of halfback, played everywhere. well done to him for getting an extension, because at one stage looked like he mightn't make it.
First round draft pick, thought he was done.
Let's talk a little bit about Geelong Sydney before that passes by, because that was a great win from the Cats yesterday. Josh Caddy's on the line and is joining us. Congratulations, Josh. 4 wins in a row. I know you're starting to just build a little bit of momentum and you confront a real contender next week in Hawthorn. Well done.
Thanks for that. Yeah, thanks for having me too. Yeah, you're right. It was a really good win last night. We had a massive second half and probably played our best half of the year. But as you said, you're exactly right. We've got Hawthorn next week. You're obviously a pretty good footy side. And yeah, it's going to be tough next week. So we're just looking forward to that now.
Josh, I think that was the pleasing thing after watching sort of snippets of it last night, because I was flicking between the two games. But notice you guys were in a little bit of trouble under a little bit of scoreboard pressure. To be able to, when you're a really good team, it's when you're sort of under that pressure and then you're able to go bang, bang, bang. And that's exactly what you did.
Yeah, we actually thought we were playing pretty well around the contest. In the first half, it was just sort of killing us, turning the ball over. We're turning the ball over. You know, through the middle of the ground, and they were just scoring on the rebound. And no matter who you're playing, any AFL team's going to do that too. You can't defend that sort of stuff. So we knew if we could tidy that up a bit, but keep playing really well around the contest and, you know, winning the contested ball battle through the midfield, and if we could just clean a few things up, we knew we'd have a good second half, and that was exactly what happened.
Josh, it's Jay Clark here. Hey, congratulations on your form. I reckon you're just about playing the best footy of your career at the moment. I want to ask you about your captain, though, because he was just fantastic, Joel Selwood, last night. The milestone game for Corey Enright, apparently all the boys were left feeling pretty flat after losing to Melbourne on his 300th, but Joel's 200th last night. Can you tell us about how much the boys wanted to win for him? Because it was a massive performance by him and from the team.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We were shattered. After the Melbourne game, not only that we lost, but the way we let down such a champion of the club, and everyone sort of took that personally. And you know, even although it was a massive game for the context of our season last night, but it was really important for us to put on a good show for Joel, because he's been such a legend of the club, and you know, he'll probably go down in history of one of the best players that's ever played for Geelong. So that was something that was really, really important to us. And although it was a great team effort last night, I thought he was absolutely amazing too, and basically summed up his career in a game last night in his 200th.
Hey Josh, I've been pleasantly surprised with the development of Mark Blitzarves. I mean, he's become such an important player. He's the number one ruckman at the club. From a teammate's point of view, have you been surprised by his rapid development?
Early days I was, because when I first got to the club, Blitz had, the year I got, before I got to the footy club, he actually got left out of the VFL grand final because they didn't think he was up to it, and they wanted to win the flag. And then the next year he played round one, and early days I was really surprised at you know, how he sort of made that happen. But seeing Blitz and the way he goes about things week to week, and just the amount of work he puts into to wanting to get better, but also the fact that, like, he does, nothing really fazes him. Like, he just backs himself in. He's just got that mindset that he's not too worried about sort of, you know, what everyone else thinks. He just sort of backs himself in, and he's pretty happy-go-lucky sort of bloke. So it amazes me that he's come this far. But at the same time, or sort of knowing what he's done and the work he's put into it, it sort of also doesn't surprise me that much.
Josh, just quickly, and we might leave you this one. Steve Motlop, his past month, he's just about one of the top 20 players in the competition. Early on, it sounded like he was going to leave. Are you hearing, and the noises around the club the past couple of weeks, is that he'll stay at Geelong? Is that the whisper?
I'd like to think so. You know, within the four walls, you sort of don't talk about that stuff with each other. You know, you respect that he has to make a decision and just sort of, you know, let him do that himself and think about it. But no, like you said, he's so important to us when he's up and going. And his last month's been exceptional and a massive reason as to why we've found some form. So I'm really hoping that he stays. And I think he will. Like, he's pretty happy at Geelong and gets along with all the boys. He's great bloke to have around the club too. He's loves having a laugh and a joke, and he's a good clubman. So I'm pretty confident he'll stay, and I really hope he does.
Appreciate your time, Josh. Continued good form. Who knows? 5 in a row next week. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Josh Caddy joining us on Triple M Football. Just before we go to the break, Jay-Z, and we know that Andrew Mackie has re-signed for another year down there. They can't take them all with them.
No, I was going to ask him, but we ran out of time. I wanted to ask him whether there was there a little sting in the tail. There's been a lot of conjecture about those players going on. Yeah. All of a sudden, BT, they've all lifted.
Yeah.
They've all lifted.
And even regardless of the lift in the mayor's tail.
There's still going to be some decisions.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And Steve Johnson, all right, give me something I don't know. Just think Steve Johnson.
That'd be tell me something I don't know. We'll be on the other side of the break. A real flavour of multiculturalism here today, that is for sure. There's a lot going on in all facets of the ground, including in our media area here. I see one box preparing for a multicultural broadcast, so that'll be fascinating as well. Lots happening. Wayne Swash, Wayne Carey, JZJ Clark with us. Mickey Roberts is also down on the boundary with us. Game not that far away. Time now for Tell Me Something I Don't Know. Something that we'll tell you out there that you haven't already heard of. Well, I'll tell you just a little one to kick it off. As you know, I was in a bad mood at the airport last night. I wasn't booked on the flight. Virgin gave me absolutely nothing. They made me wait in an hour and a half, and then they still gave me nothing. But while I was waiting in that hour and a half in the Virgin Lounge over in Perth, I was watching the Hawthorn logistics. I assume he was the logistics guy for the Hawthorn Football Club. They all came back on the midnight flight last night, and he stood there with the laptop computer at the entrance to the Virgin Lounge. And he stood there for a whole hour and a half, and he was making sure that particular players were sitting next to particular players, making sure they got, you know, good seats, as good as they could possibly get, given the crowd on the plane. But it looked like they were actually trying to match up players to sit with particular players, depending on what had happened that day and what needed to be said.
I like it, BT, because that follows on in what I'm going to say. I went down to the Kangaroos during the week.
Complete professionalism.
That's right. So, yeah, exactly right. And I'll tell you what, if we don't know it, then people out there don't know it, and that's what this segment's all about. Yep. So I went down to the Kangaroos, listened to Brad Scott speak, Schwatter, in their auditorium, their new room.
Was this an invitation?
Well, I was down there for a particular speech. Brad was speaking before me. I spoke after him. But blown away by the technology, Swatter, that the Kangaroos have and the way they went about it. And Brad Scott explaining how he explains to the players the teachings that they give players.
They had a computer?
Yeah. it's a little bit more than that, right. BT. But on top of that, Swatter, full-time psychologists will be in every club in the very near future. Right. Now, I know my understanding is there are some clubs that have a psychologist, BT, down there 2 or 3 days a week. But what I'm talking about is full-time psychologists just at a footy club. So 24/7, like they'll be available to you, Swatter.
I'm not sure whether
our
I
friend
do,
over here Swatter. May not.
It's got a little bit of a chook pellet feel about it, rather than something real meaty about it.
BT.
Give us something meaty out of it.
Let's be honest. If there were full-time psychologists back when we played, then there mightn't have been the trouble at first. So I think it's a big thing, and it's where the game's going now.
Boy. Yeah. Couldn't we go on with that? Jay-Z, what do you got for us?
Hey, Steve Johnson, a lot of discussion at the moment, whether he's going to go on next year or not. At the moment, I think probably more chance that Steve Johnson's not going to play next year. And if he doesn't, I expect him to be...
Hang on, what?
If Steve Johnson doesn't play...
He has already said openly...
Yep.
Publicly,
yeah,
he wants to go on.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's that clear cut. In fact, I think if the decision was made now, he wouldn't be playing next year,
really?
Steve Johnson. But next year, I think if he's not playing, he'll be coaching, and he'll be coaching at Collingwood. He has a very close relationship with Neil Baum. They are as thick as thieves, those two. And I think he will start a coaching career at Collingwood, Steve Johnson.
So you think, but he said he wants to play on in a playing capacity.
Yeah, he wants to play. There's no doubt about that.
But if it's not for Geelong, you're saying that he'll leave and go into coaching?
Yeah, and I think it'll be at Collingwood.
Wow.
But see, look, if you look at Geelong's list at the moment, this is just very quick. Billy Smets, right?
Yep.
He's out of contract at the end of the year, first round draft pick, been on the scene about 4 or 5 years. Will he go on again next year or not? If he does, they might have to punt Steve Johnson to give that room, to give a young kid a go. So
a little bit more spice in it than the old psychologist.
Yeah, Swatter, no chook pellet stuff, mate. What do you got for
us? No, well, if Stevie J hopes to play on Jay-Z,
if
Stevie Motlop gets his way, my understanding is that the impasse between the Cats and Stevie Motlop at the moment, and it is starting to turn that he will stay, is the fact that Stevie would like five and
five
the club
years.
Wants to give him four.
Would you give five, Steve Motlop five?
Stevie Motlop wants five, is my understanding.
Well, they don't offer five-year contracts down at Geelong to many players. In fact, it never happens.
It's got a little bit of a ring to it, that. I remember the great Wayne Schwoss. That was a little sticking point when Schwatter ended up leaving to Sydney, and we got
what happened?
Shannon Grant. Well, it was just Was that true, Schwatter? Was it no. because of 1 year?
No.
There was, they were, no?
I got the year.
Oh, you got the year. You just wanted out.
Jay-Z, that was Tell Me Something I Don't Know. Yes. Now, just very, very quickly run through any other issues you want to get off your back.
Well, the big issue that's going to blow up tomorrow is Mark Lucrat and the injury list at
West
Coast.
1 week he'll get.
Two down to one. Yep. They have to get him. Now, McGovern, again, a hamstring injury. They played him too early. Yeah, he had a hamstring problem.
A week too early for me. They got him back because they knew it was a big game last night. I reckon if they were playing Melbourne, St Kilda, someone else of that ilk,
start
they
punching
would not
through
have played
it, Jay-Z, because BT's not liking the pace.
Dylan Grimes at Richmond, underrated part of that back line, out for a couple of weeks, I think, with a...
Well, he's got a real history there.
Yeah, with it's a bit of an... It's a behind-the-knee issue,
don't,
I believe.
Don't flick through an injury list.
Jay Schultz, the issue at Port Adelaide, that's where the Bunsen burner is going to be applied at the moment, because they failed dismally this year, Port Adelaide. Jay Schultz might go to Fremantle, knocked back 2 years of 400 grand. Now, Port could get Charlie Dixon, so they'd have Dixon and Ryder in their forward half next year, but really the issue is in the midfield, the Port Adelaide midfield. That's where they've been beaten again yesterday. Western Bulldogs took them apart there.
Well done, Jay-Z. Very nicely. We're going to say goodbye to you. Thanks
for
being part of the day. Just before I do go to James Lake, though, if you, Swatter, were the psychologist back in the day working with Wayne Carey, you'd sit him in the chair and what, just in a sort of a sentence or a paragraph, what would be your opening summary to Wayne?
Oh, boy.
Tell me the truth.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.